He comes from a land down under, but his time at Spurs will make you wonder.
You can't be the whole league's whipping boy.
If you want you to are. Buy a win, just look for your next fixture against Spurs, because apparently they give him out for free.
Richarlison at 58 million is scandalous.
Is the problem Ange, or is there deeper-rooted issues at Spurs? It is the nature of the Spurs.
It is the history of the Tottenham.
Mentality you need to win these isn't built into the ethos of that club.
Let's turn Spurs into a big spoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 123. He comes from a land down under, but his time at Spurs will make you wonder. Good day, mate. We're talking about Ange Postecoglou. We're talking Spurs. It's all downhill from here.
That was fucking bars, mate.
Mate, honestly, where do we begin with Ange Postecoglou, with Spurs, with Daniel Levy, with their terrible players? It's all bad at Spurs at the minute.
And I love it. So I'm going to give you the tale of the sorrow, what's going wrong, kind of like a brief overview of the form, all that good stuff. And then maybe you can kind of give me like...
opinion.
Yeah, opinion on why it's gone wrong, what the next kind of course of action is.
Let's go. Tell me the story behind Spurs.
I'll put bits and bobs up on the screen as we go. This is the table. They are sat in 15th place. I was bantering a couple of weeks ago that it was a relegation battle. It is quite definitely a relegation battle.
I mean, it's relegation form.
And we'll talk about relegation form and relegation battle, because the last two games they played are against relegation battlers, the two teams directly below them, Everton and Leicester, who are on 17 points and 23 points. Mm. Spurs sat on 24. They lost to both these guys. So there was a little bit of a cushion between Spurs and relegation. Now that cushion isn't really there. They're 8 points off the relegation zone with them giving points to Leicester and Everton.
I mean, Everton off the back of two wins, Leicester picking up a win. You would maybe be stretching to say that, to be worried, telling Spurs fans to be worried.
Yeah.
They've clearly got enough quality. They're a big enough establishment that I think, you know, they'll pick up a couple of wins and they'll be fine. But where those wins will come from, I have no fucking idea.
And I'm absolutely here for Spurs to be in a relegation battle. So I'll hit you with some of their recent form, all that good stuff. So let's go back to maybe, I don't know, mid-December when the game started coming thick and fast. They had a 5-0 win against Southampton. That was Russell Martin's last game in charge.
Demolition job.
Demolition job. And then they followed that up with a 6-3 loss to Liverpool. Goals, goals, goals. And that's something that's always been said about Ange's sides. And scored goals for days.
Conceded a lot of goals as well.
Yeah. And then 1-0 loss to Forest. 2-2 draw against Wolves. And then it starts getting ugly. A 2-1 loss to Newcastle. A 2-1 loss to Arsenal. A 3-2 loss to Everton. And a 2-1 loss to Leicester.
Leicester off the back of, what is it, 7 straight defeats? Or no wins in 7? Dr. Spurs, get him along.
Talking about Dr. Spurs, I'll put another little image on the screen here. So Spurs, we were talking about losing to teams in the relegation battle and how that can kind of suck you in. Spurs have lost to Palace this season, Ipswich this season, Everton this season, and Leicester this season. Palace's form before they played Spurs: loss, loss, draw, 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 loss, 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 and then a win.
Wing.
This one's even worse. Ipswich's form before they played Spurs: loss, loss, draw, 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 loss, 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 draw, win. So no, what is that? No wins in 10 or something?
No wins in 10.
Bosh, get a win against Spurs. Everton and Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well, who I haven't got a stat for that, but he hasn't scored in about a million years. And Everton hadn't got a win in ages. Draw, 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 loss, loss, loss.
Win.
Win against Spurs and a Calvert-Lewin goal. And then Leicester last weekend, draw, loss, 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 loss. And then a win against Spurs.
Mental.
You can't be the whole league's whipping boys.
If you want to buy a win, just look for your next fixture against Spurs, because apparently they give them out for free. It's absolutely nuts. And you're never going to build anything.
No.
If you can't beat the fodder teams in the league.
100%.
No offence to them teams, but off the back of 10 games out of win, 5 games out of win, 6 games out of win.
Yeah.
You have to have some sort of, you know, superiority going into that game, thinking we're Spurs.
Yeah.
You haven't got a win in seven. We're going to come here and do a job on you.
100%.
But where the mentality is gone.
Yeah, and I don't want to liken it to Arsenal, but that's what I know. Arsene Wenger's kind of like last few years in charge, there was this kind of thing where like we could beat the small teams, but like against the big six, we would just get peppered every single time. I think he had like a horror big six record. And that's why you kind of saw us kind of like stagnating around like fifth, sixth. Because we get all the points you can get from that lower end of the table. But then the difference in the top six is we can't break in the other top six. Whereas now Spurs can't beat the big lot and can't beat the shit teams. And
who
they are just catapulting down the table.
Yeah. I think it's so weird because obviously Ange came in and off the back of them having sort of like short-term success managers, I wouldn't really class Nuno as that, but Jose Mourinho, Antonio Conte, they're managers who know short-term success. Conte's gone to Napoli and they're doing bits.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho, I think, is second in the Turkish league. Nuno's gone to Forest and they've been on absolute wonder season. So it makes you think, like, is the problem Ange or is there deeper-rooted issues at Spurs? And I know the term bottle job gets thrown around a lot. It is... I wonder if it's just deeper rooted in maybe there it just is, as Chiellini said, it's the nature of the Spurs.
It is the history of the Tottenham.
Yeah, you can only breed a winning mentality by winning games, but it has to start somewhere. Ange obviously had a very good start with Spurs. I think they were like the most informed team in his like first 10 games. They were in a title race for a period of time. But the game just get worse. The performances have gotten worse and you can only give so much of that to their injury record because you have teams like we spoke about last week with Bournemouth who have terrible injury records with less resources, less depth to fall back on and they're performing. So the 100%. Excuses cannot be injuries and I know they have injuries to key players.
Yeah.
Van de Ven, Romero, they haven't got a first choice keeper for love nor money. You know, it's Solanke out. I mean,
yeah. Let's talk about the injuries and then we'll talk about Ange and then we'll talk about Daniel Levy because I think all of them are to blame.
Oh, 100%.
But you can't kind of be like, because of him, like Levy, you can't blame Ange, or because of
the players,
you can't blame Levy or Ange.
Yeah.
They're all to blame. And you hit the nail on the head when there's managers like Iraola who have got less resources dealing with similar injuries and are performing way better. You've got to expect more from Ange and the team. But yeah, let's talk about the injury. So they brought in Wilson Odebert in the summer. He's missed 23 games this season from injury. But he was a bit... I think he cost like 40 mil.
It's a lot of money. And I don't think they were expecting him to be like first name on the team sheet sort of player.
Yeah.
But obviously it's an injury they have to deal with. There's a little bit of depth they lost. Maybe using the same capacity they would use like a Brennan Johnson.
Mm.
You know, some depth on the bench, something to come on to change the game a little bit. And playing those games, you know, you're playing in Europe or whatever, you know, play those filler games, give players rest. But he's obviously been injured for like half the season. So.
But then another thing with someone like him is you've got to question like the recruitment strategy. If you're spending 40 mil on, he was an unproven winger, to come in and kind of fill multiple spots, for him to get injured, you've got to question, I don't know, recruitment, is he the right choice?
Mm.
Vicario missed 17 games this season.
Goalkeeper injury is what it is.
They have brought in a new goalkeeper. He's looked a little bit shaky, but you can't argue that you can't pin that one on recruitment or Levy. They got an injured goalkeeper. He went out and got them a new goalkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair enough.
You can't argue with that. Christian Romero and Mickey van de Ven both missed 14 games with hamstring injuries.
Is that somewhat to blame with to Ange? Because I would be interested.
The style of play is a problem. And
intensity of training.
Intensity of training is probably mad. Also, he rushed both of these dons back against Chelsea, and they both got injured in that game.
I don't know. Maybe somewhere on the line, you need to think like, can we play this intense, high pressing football, high line football every game for 90 minutes, 90 plus minutes, sometimes two, three times in a week?
A week, yeah.
Is it possible, especially when you don't have unlimited depth at centre back? You know, they've brought in Dragusan. he's a good backup option, but he's not. He's you know,
definitely not starting level.
Yeah, he's and he's not a top out. Six Premier League centre back, and that's sort of what you got to have on the depth on the bench. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It is unfortunate that you're a first choice centre back pairing, and it's a good centre back pairing. Let's not be funny here. It's a good centre back pairing. For them to both be injured at the same time,
not ideal.
And Van de Ven's missed however many games over the last two seasons.
Again, it's like you've got to look at the recruitment. Was he injury prone before he came in? Does he mesh well with the Ange kind of style? Where, like, can he handle that kind of intensity?
Well, clearly
level?
He's really good for Ange, because he's like an incredibly quick centre back. So when teams do break that high line, he's great at making recovery tackles.
Mm.
But, you know, if you're asking him to do that four or five times a game, he's going to bust a hammy at some point.
That's facts. That is facts.
And it's happened multiple times.
Another one of the main back line, Destiny Udogie, 8 games out this season.
Yeah, it sounds like a big loss, but he had a stinky start to the season after a really good previous season.
And Jed Spencer's come in and he's looked all right, to be fair.
Yeah.
He is now also injured.
They have decent depth in those wide areas.
Yeah, yeah.
With Porro, you know, with Jed Spence.
Archie Gray can come in.
Archie Gray. So, you know, that's so-so.
And I'll just hit you with some other ones. So, Dom Solanke, who's now out injured. I think we won't see him for a couple more weeks. He's already missed 3 games. You've got James Maddison, who's missed 2 games this season. Richarlison's been out most of the season, but now he's...
come back 2 goals in 2 games?
Yeah, come back. So, there is an injury problem there. Like we said, how much of it is these players can't handle the intensity? How much is it that Ange's style of play is too intense for these players?
Or how much of it is
not relenting?
Recruitment.
Yeah, recruitment and not having a plan B.
I think it goes back to what you said there. The blame has to be shared here.
Yeah.
Is it Levy and his team not getting in the correct players? Players who can play intense football for long periods of time, play lots of minutes.
Are they not doing their due diligence? Come on.
But I guess it's hard.
Word to say, yeah.
It's hard to say before
it's a hard
you've
word
seen
to say.
It.
Yeah.
You know? Is it Ange? Is it a reluctance to sort of maybe have a system where it's less intensive? Mm. You know, maybe look to break down teams in a different way other than just having a really high press?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, again,
or is it just
like,
down to the players being made of glass?
Yeah, it's probably all of it. Against shitter teams, you don't need to play this super aggressive, high line, like, run more than everybody else. Just kind of take the sting out of these games. Conserve your energy.
Pick your moments.
Rotate a bit more. But, like, if you play with the same starting 11 at the same 100% intensity every single game, like you said, 3 times a week.
38 games in the Premier League. However many games in Europe. Yeah. However many games in the Carabao. However many games in the FA Cup. They weren't putting out weak teams. I mean, was it against Taunton? They put out a fucking strong
team. That's what I'm saying. You just can't be doing stuff like that.
No, it's maybe it's naivety.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe it is naivety. Maybe it comes from Ange having, you know, the most dominant team in Scottish football, being able to, you know, rest players, being able to take your foot off the pedal because you were 4-0 up after 20 minutes in most games.
Yeah.
Not having that sort of history, experience to fall back on, knowing what to do in these situations. I don't know how he's handled it. I don't really know how I feel about how he's handled it. It just seems to me like he just doesn't care.
Yeah. It's a weird one, because last couple of games he's come out and said, like, I understand why the fans would be on my case. It's like, I'm a football manager, I'm judged on my results, and I'm not getting the results. But I don't know, it just seems like him and the fans have kind of lost this kind of relationship that
they had.
There
was a really good atmosphere, feeling around the club when he first came in, off the back of that initial sort of semi-success. And it's just slowly rotting away, and something has to change. Something really does have to change. Is it time for them to pull the plug?
So I'll hit you with a little bit of a Spurs Postecoglou timeline. So they appointed him in 2024, and he won Manager of the Month 3 times in his first season. Spurs finished 5th. Yep. But this season they are 15th. But he did say, I always win a trophy in my second season.
Well, time will tell.
Is that maybe what still kept him in the job?
Well, I sort of think he's buying time via their Carabao Cup performances. I think Levy knows that if we can get any silverware through the door,
yeah,
we can start filling that cabinet up slowly but surely.
100%. Like, The losses have been bad. Like the Everton one, they finished 3-2, but they were 3-0 down.
If they
should have sacked him there and then.
If they were 2-0 down on aggregate to Liverpool in that Carabao Cup, he'd be gone now. I'm certain of it.
I think that's facts. Because, yeah, if you go 2-0 down in that Liverpool game and then 3-0 down in that Everton game, sat that Don at half time.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool goes two goals up inside the first half, he might be gone at half time.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think he is. He's so lucky that Europa League is still on. Carabao, he's ahead on the aggregate and could go into the final against potentially Newcastle because Arsenal look out.
Mm.
Spurs, Newcastle, they could fancy
it's doable.
A result. Yeah,
it's doable.
Doable for a final. And then FA Cup they're still in.
Yeah, so it's... I don't know, it's a bit of a stretch, but mate, you're 15th in the Premier League.
Mm.
You scored the most goals in the Premier League. And you're 15th.
It's facts.
What the fuck is going wrong? And it sort of makes sense, missing your centre-back pairing, so you can see it in more goals. Play with a higher line, you can see more goals. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But whilst it makes sense, it doesn't make sense to continue that way when it has you 15th in the league. You can't beat Everton, you can't beat Palace, you can't beat Leicester, you can't beat Ipswich. It's embarrassing.
Right, let's take a look at Daniel Levy then, because a lot of the anger when teams are doing badly, if the fan base like the manager,
It gets directed
to the hierarchy. Yeah, the owners. And you see it with Arsenal, you see it with Man United, you see it with Chelsea. Daniel Levy, so he's had full kind of charge of Spurs since, I don't know, like mid-2010s.
It's been a long time.
And under Daniel Levy, they've spent $700 million.
Is that on players?
Yeah. I'll give you
it
just
It sounds
like,
a lot in the grand scheme of things.
It's actually probably not that much.
Over the course of time, it's probably less than... Well, it's definitely less than $100,000.
Especially when I tell you their outgoings. They sold Gareth Bale for $101 million, Harry Kane for $95 million, Kyle Walker for $52 million. They have done a lot of kind of recouping their money. But can you name the five most expensive signings under Daniel Levy? All bar one are still at the club now.
Right. Expensive signings. Is Archie Gray up there?
No.
He's not. What's the threshold?
50 mil and upwards.
50 mil and upwards.
Yeah.
Richarlison?
Richarlison is there, 58 million.
Poor.
And then I'll hit you with another question after this.
What was Bissouma?
He is not there.
He's 40 million, I think.
Yeah.
40 odd. All by one is still at the club. Son was like 35, I think, from HSV. Who else they got? Solanke?
Solanke is top of the list, 64
million.
64 million.
So Richarlison, Solanke, Brennan Johnson,
Brennan Johnson is there.
Is he?
Yeah, 55 million.
Wow, that seems like a lot of money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brennan Johnson, Solanke, Richarlison. Which kind of
leads into my question coming up after.
Ooh. James Maddison?
No.
What was that? That must be close as
probably
well.
Probably close,
yeah.
He's not on the list.
What position am I missing?
So you're missing a centre-back and then the guy that's not there.
Centre-back? It's not Romero, surely.
It is Romero, is it? 50 million.
50 million?
Yeah.
And a what? And a guy that's not there anymore?
And the guy that's not there anymore.
How long ago was he there?
A couple of seasons ago. Bit of a baller, to be fair.
Not Lamella?
No. Tanguy Ndombele.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
I mean, he didn't stake up, did he?
No, he did. So I'll run you through this, and then I'll hit you with my next question. So, Dominic Solanke, 64 million. Tanguy Ndombele, 62 million. Richarlison, 58 million. Brennan Johnson, 55 million. Romero, 50 million. How many of them are actually good players, and how many of them are getting players at like a good value? Because I think, barring maybe Christian Romero, who I don't even like that much, he's the only good player.
He's probably worth his price tag.
And everybody else there is not a good player, and their price is massive compared to how good they are.
So I would rank the worst one at least by far is Ndombele.
Ndombele.
I mean, that man is a joker. Million. He came for a payday.
Did some techie bits. And then
yeah, left. He looked like our baller, but I don't know. He looked like he ate a lot. So he's worse on that list.
Shout out my guy.
I feel it's harsh, but I might have to put Richarlison.
Richarlison at 58 million is scandalous.
Second worst.
Scandalous.
Then it's Brennan Johnson for me.
55 million. Again, like a good player, had a good like shift at Nottingham Forest, but there is not enough in his time at Nottingham Forest and what we've seen of him at Spurs to say 55 million is a good move.
Yeah, I think it was a panic buy. Massive. But I think that's, they've overpaid there. I think Solanke is too early to tell.
Too early to tell, but 64 million
is a big price tag.
Is a big price tag for. I think it will come good. I think he is a good move.
Maybe not 65 million good.
But Jesus Christ, all of those I think are overpaid. Especially when we were talking earlier about Odebear, 40 million.
Yeah, James, Archie Gray must have been about 40,
about 40 yeah. mil. I think Maddison was about 40 mil. What I'm seeing from Spurs' kind of transfer spend is that maybe it's not so high. And maybe it's a good thing it's not so high, because if they spent even more, there'd
worse.
Be even more duds here. Yeah. And you know what happens with like a club like Man United, where you spend loads on loads of shit players, you can't get rid of them.
Yeah, you can't. Well, once you give them 100 grand a week plus.
That's what I'm saying. You've got a club full of idiots.
Yeah,
and you can't get rid of them.
Builds up quickly. But yeah, it's completely true. I struggle to think of a player that Spurs have got in and I thought, wow.
Maybe
Kulusevski. Kulusevski, yeah. Recent... That's good. Son, obviously, he's a stalwart. That's been a really good buy for them over the last few years. Romero, I would say he's maybe up there. Apart from that, I struggle.
Obviously got to look at Levy and say, like, maybe spend more, because 700 million since he's been in ownership isn't a whole lot of money. But then you've also got to look, like, I think the guys, they call him, like, Lange. I don't know his name. Like, something Lange. Recruitment.
I mean, but
you got to look at him as well.
They've lost... Obviously, Harry Kane went 2 seasons ago now. But they've lost that guy who would bail them out of games.
Yeah.
Who would play that wonder pass. Son isn't that guy.
No.
Son isn't that guy anymore. You know, he's not going to win you the game by himself. He's not going to play that pass which gets you out of a sticky situation and gets you a goal. He's not going to score that wonder goal. I'm struggling to see stars in their team.
Yeah, there's just not enough...
Too many passengers.
Yeah.
Too many passengers. And the midfield is full of them. Saar, Bissouma, Bergvall. I'm underwhelmed with. Bentancur, he's permanently injured or being racist. You know, like, passengers.
Yeah.
No one who's in there who you think, right, they're going to fucking do a job today.
Especially when you look at the five that they sold. Luka Modric, one of the best midfielders to ever grace the game.
Yeah.
Harry Kane, one of the best strikers to ever grace the game. Gareth Bale, one of the best wingers to ever grace the game.
And all
Carl Walker, one of the best right backs to ever grace the game. Dimitar Berbatov.
Baller.
Can do keepy up his bare foot in his garden.
These players have all left because they know that the mentality you need to win things isn't built into the ethos of that club.
Mate, Spurs, I know they don't want to hear it, but you're a stepping stone club for these players.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And, you know, it's all well and good. You're buying young players in and, you know, they've gone for a semi-project manager and Ange, but the project's not working. You need a revamp.
Facts.
And you've only just had a revamp. You know, you completely changed up your style of play.
Yeah.
You completely changed up sort of the players you're bringing in. It's something's got to give. Something really has to give. And I saw at the game there was a banner which said time for change. They got taken away by stewards. I'm sorry, but when are we silencing football fans for like pretty non-offensive views at a football game?
Yeah, non-offensive banner. Yeah.
Can't drink beer in the stands. You can't bring pyros in. No TIFOs. You're happy to let fucking tourist fans and like absolute wankers bring in signs saying, Son, can I have your shirt, mate? Or Bissouma, can I have your shirt?
Yeah.
But you won't let the fans who actually care about the club voice their opinion. What are you scared of? Do something about it. Are you a big man or what? Or are you just going to hide away up there, Daniel Levy?
In your high ivory tower.
But you're happy to send out the poor bloke from down under to take all the stick in front of the press. But when are you going to step up and do something? Yes, Daniel Levy has given this club a lease of life. I think on paper, they're the best run business and one of the best run football clubs in world football. in terms of their liquid assets, in terms of their fixed assets, the stadium, in terms of their cash flow, and in terms of their profitability. I think they ride really high above the line of PSR and FFP.
Come on.
Which is really good. It's really good. And clearly, it takes time. And that is something that should never be taken for granted in football. Mm. When you see clubs folding, when you see clubs getting deductions, see clubs having to sell their best players because they can't get past these rules. And Daniel Levy has sort of subverted that through brilliant management of the club. But some sort of football direction needs to be taking place. They need to bring someone in who can, you know, we know what Levy's like at the negotiation table. I'd hate to think of the players that Spurs have been in for and lost because of him.
Yeah, facts.
They need to bring someone in who is capable of building success. And I know that's such a broad blanket term to use. And if it was that easy, they would have done it.
Yeah, but it goes deeper than a manager, doesn't it? Because you've seen...
We've just been through the recruitment.
The recruitment is bad. And no manager can kind of win against a poor owner. Or can they?
Cause... But they've been close a couple of times. But it's not recent. It feels recent in the grand scheme of football. Champions League final, you know. Second in the Premier League. They sacked Jose Mourinho like the day before a cup final.
It's self-sabotage at this point.
But that wasn't recent.
No.
That's 10 years ago, you know. That's a long time ago since they've had anywhere near the sniff of success that they think they deserve.
And they don't deserve it because they've got 23 games played, 24 points on the board.
It's mental. They had more points after Andrew's first 10 games than they do after 23 games this season.
It's mad.
What happens? What is the play? Is it time for change at the top?
So I've seen Spurs fans go, pay anything, get me Iraola.
Not going to happen,
brother,
mate.
Not going to happen. You need to realise who you are. You need to realise what Bournemouth are becoming.
Mm.
Like, give it 3-4 years, genuinely Bournemouth could be a bigger entity than Spurs.
I said it and I stand by it. I think it is so difficult to become an established club in the Premier League. And I'm not talking... Spurs are a worldwide organisation. It cannot be understated. Bournemouth have like a 15,000 seat capacity stadium. If they weren't in the Premier League, that's not even getting filled, mate.
Wait until the cogs start turning. It's European football this year. It's...
Oh, mate, I hope that happens. But I think... You know, it's difficult.
So let's write off Iraola. I think he's too deep in the Bournemouth project. And
it's
I
going
think
too well.
We said the step up from Bournemouth to Spurs isn't going to be enough to tempt him. One name that I said at the start of the season, my big shout of the season, I'll find the clip. I'll fucking dive into the archives and find it. I said they're going to sack Ange and get Thomas Frank in.
Mate, he could hop on a Lion bike and be there in 20 minutes.
I think that makes so much sense. He's... built a club that is very kind of data heavy. You see, like, the way they go about it, the recruitment at Brentford, he has a big stand in that. But he's been kind of like, he's managed to grow this club. And I think he'd be such a good recruitment.
Yeah, I know a lot of the like Match of the Day pundits speak really highly of Thomas Frank from the time they've spent with him.
Mm. Seems like a good guy, to be fair.
Yeah, I just don't like him because he's at Brentford.
Yeah.
But I think that is the most obvious answer. Safest play.
Makes too much sense.
Prem proven.
Yeah.
He won't have to relocate, so it's a bit of an easier sell. Hmm. He's going to have way more financial firepower. You know, he's going to have better players to work with, in quotations. He's going to have better training grounds. He's going to have access to more staff, more data. It makes sense for me.
And if people are worrying that Iraola is like a one-season wonder, ignore that.
Done it for like three
Thomas Frank's been here 3-4 seasons now. He's churned out good players. He's made players come in and get better. Like the like of Damsgaard that's in the team now, he looks great. You see bloody Mbeumo and Wissa at the top look great.
Mate, he's dealt with injuries. He's not had wing-backs for like 3 seasons.
Yeah, I think he'd be such a good talismanic striker. And the jump up from Brentford, who... I think he's like established them at the Prem level now, but is struggling to kind of take them up to the
European level,
European spots. I think he'd be up for that kind of
thing. Yeah, I think, and I can't imagine his buyout clause is going to be ridiculously big. I think it makes so much sense. It really does.
Give me some other names that you like.
Oh, I think Potchback is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to just let things lie in the past. Maybe you go for... what's the Atalanta manager's name?
Oh, Gasperini.
Gasperini, yeah. I think he could be a good idea. I think you need to go Prem proven.
I think you've got to go Prem proven.
I think this, you know... Ange was a gamble.
Mm.
No disrespect to the SPL, but it's not a massive league, is it?
No.
It's a farmers league with two big teams in it.
Yeah. Maybe Graham Potter before he went to West Ham.
Yeah, that would have been all right. Even David Moyes wouldn't have been a bad shot.
I bantered about Sean Dyche. My guy's out of a job right now.
Well, yeah. I think you just pay what you can and get Thomas Frank in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is night and day the most obvious shout. I think that might even be a better shout than Iraola, personally.
It seems better suited, I think.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggle to think of like anyone else, really, who would want it.
Yeah.
I know Ancelotti's leaving at the end of the season.
Spurs don't have the clout for that.
He went to fucking Everton.
They had stupid money at that point.
That is true. Yeah, I don't know. It's so difficult because, yes, they're a big club. They've got a fantastic stadium. They have money to spend in transfer windows.
Yeah.
But it's a cursed chalice.
It's so, like, it mirrors Man United so much where, like, obviously they've got different...
I don't think it's nearly half as bad as Man United.
No, they've got different problems to different extents. Like, I think the Man United one is less... It's still the owners and stuff, but I think it is a lot of it is on the players not being great.
Man United have, like, far more deadwood to share.
And deadwood and bigger wages and all
that. I think Ratcliffe is proving to be a terrible owner.
Tyrant.
Oh, mate, he could be a bit like malignant or whatever it's called.
I don't know what
underlying
that
sort of like
nonce
tumor.
You could have to beat all of that.
Spreading. No.
Whereas I think Spurs is like a deep rooted club culture.
Probably. I think it's just the fabric of the Spurs.
Yeah, like, I genuinely just don't think they've got the minerals, mate.
They need like just a killer to come in and be like, we're gonna win things.
But that's what and if you're not here, Conte were.
Yeah, I guess, but...
Oh, it's so bad.
This is where... they've tried it.
Get someone in. I was going to say, get someone in that you can back as a fan. That's what Ange was. They've tried everything.
They've tried Trophy Merchants.
Mate, just fold. Fold.
Just fold. Just
call it a day, mate.
Give you their stadium.
Just give it. Call it a day, mate. Make it I don't know.
Turn their stadium into your training ground. That's what you want.
Yeah, come on.
Turn it into massive spoons.
Come on.
They've got the infrastructure.
Yeah, they've got the little cup things that fill up from the bottom as well. Oh, big spoons.
That'd oh, mate, sick. That'd be class.
I'm going to make that the thumbnail.
Let's turn Spurs into a big spoons. I think that's what we all deserve.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, perfect.
Love
you
it.
You can go pre-drink there before the Arsenal game.
Come on.
What'd be your new rivalry? Like Chelsea?
Yeah.
It's not quite...
Spurs fans, let us know in the comments down below. How do you fix this situation? Is it time for Ange to head back to the land down under? Let us know.
Or is it time to pull the lever and get rid of Levy?
Oh, let's be frank. It's time for Frank. Not Lampard. Thomas Frank.
He's doing all right, don't you know?
He's actually, to be fair.
Get some results in. Yeah, anyway, it's been Board Draw, episode 1, 2, 3. And just like that, Spurs are in a relegation battle. It's easy as 1, 2, 3.
Relegation. Na, 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 na.